It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. I'm Bubba Rosenbaum. We have a great show planned for you, and it's an abbreviated show. We have two guests. We'll be first catching up with Kelly Hines from the Tulsa World. And Kelly is the Tulsa Golden Hurricane beat writer. And the Pirates will be out in the Reynolds Center on Wednesday night taking on the Golden Hurricane. The Golden Hurricane is near the top of the American Conference. And they defeated the Pirates 65-49 back on January 15th. In Williams Arena, Minji's Coliseum. So we'll talk to Kelly about that. We'll also catch up with Billy Godwin, former head coach of the Pirates in baseball from 2006 to 2014. After 5 years as a scout in the Yankees organization, he is now with UNCG, taking over for former East Carolina hitting coach Link Jarrett, who moved on to Notre Dame. So we'll hear from Billy Godwin about his first season in 2020 with the UNCG Spartans. First, let's hear from Kelly Hines with the Tulsa World and talk Tulsa East Carolina basketball right now.
Pirates have a big game coming up, Bubba, coming up against Tulsa, right?
Yeah, Wednesday night, the Pirates will be out at the Reynolds Center and taking on Tulsa, like you mentioned. These two clubs met back in mid-January. That was a game that was an extremely ugly first half, but then Tulsa pulled away for a 65-49 victory right now. To talk about this matchup, we're very excited to welcome back in from the Tulsa World, Kelly Hines. Kelly, welcome back.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's awesome to have you back. And first off, I have to say, you guys have to be happy with the turnaround so far with the Tulsa basketball program this season.
Yeah, it's been, you know, fairly unexpected. You know, when a team is picked 10th out of 12 teams, you're not expecting them to, you know, be in the mix of the conference race. You know, at this point, the last couple games, you know, haven't gone Tulsa's way. But, you know, leading up to those games, it was kind of shocking how well they were playing. You know, the 40-point win against Memphis was ridiculous, but then to beat Wichita State at the buzzer, there have just been some really good performances. Beating Houston, obviously, that's one of them. So it just was not what was expected for this season. I kind of thought they might have a year like this next year with the pieces they would have back. So definitely been impressed with them. It's been fun. It's been, you know, anytime something unexpected happens, it's just kind of like catches you off guard, and so it's still kind of hard to process at this point.
Yeah, we had talked to the guys from the Hurricanes earlier in the basketball season, and they almost alluded to that. You know, coach could possibly be on the hot seat. I guess that's not the case now.
Yeah, you know, stuff changes so fast. I guess they can go the other direction in a hurry too. So it's. You know, it's hard to even imagine that. But, you know, going into the season, it was kind of one of those deals. You know, they haven't been to the postseason in a few years. And, you know, Frank Hayes makes more money than anybody in Tulsa basketball history has ever made. And so with that comes a lot of expectations that, you know, hasn't really to this point come to fruition. So I thought that this was a very important year for him. But, you know, the expectations weren't there for this year. So to overachieve, you know, at least to this point, I think that he's won more people over. You know, all it takes is winning games, and people love you.
Now, Kelly, taking a look back at that first matchup, like I mentioned in the open, it was a 30-30 game at halftime, and both teams have played pretty poorly in the first half. You think it has to get better than this. For Tulsa, it did. For the Pirates, it took a nosedive and just 19 points after the break for the Pirates. And Horn, I know, had 14-6, and then Brandon Rochelle had 21-7 in that one. Igbanu, who's been playing extremely well, and we'll get to him in a moment, had 8 points and 10 boards. But that trio helped Frank Hayes Club pull away. But I'm getting back to Martin Zigbanu. That's what he's just been on an absolute tear, making the AAC honor roll. He's put up 28 or more points in 3 of his last 4 games.
Yeah, and I think some of that is because, you know, other weapons have emerged. You know, you mentioned Jariah Horn. He's a guy who hasn't shot as well lately, but, you know, definitely has that he's the best three-point shooter on the team. So there's a threat that comes along with him. So when teams have to defend him, they're really not able to double-team Martin. And I think Martin's is getting, frustrated, limited, however you want to say it, by the double teams, especially in non-conference play. And now as you're getting deeper into conference play, like teams, aren't sure who to guard. You can't always double-team Martins because you're leaving somebody open. And there are guys who can knock down shots. They're not, like, super consistent with it, but the threat is there. So Martins has grown so much with his confidence. He really struggled with that during non-conference play. And now you're kind of seeing him get back to where he was during last season during non-conference play. So he's been pretty much unstoppable. It kind of, like I said, how teams want to try to defend him, because I think Tulsa has the personnel to make you pay one way or another.
Now, Kelly, go ahead, Dave.
Kelly, as far as we were talking about expectations, I would assume that things going well right now, unless there's, and I know there's a lot of basketball left of conference play or a good number of games, but and the conference tournament. But it looks like there's some form of fashion that definitely Tulsa's going to some form of postseason play after the conference tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I think for this team to, make it to the NIT, that's something that the previous team, since 3 years since that's happened. So, it's not always easy to get one of those bids. There aren't that many. And, a lot of programs would be disappointed to go to the NIT. I think Tulsa would love to go to the NIT. So especially if you can get a home game I think that would be great for this team just because the expectations weren't even there for that. That was, going into the season, hey, if they could make it to the NIT, that would be really good for a team pick 10th. Obviously, when you're in first place in the league, like Tulsa was, just like a week ago, you're starting to think about the NCAA tournament and the possibilities there. But, at this point, I think they're in good position. If they can, win the games they're expected to win from this point on, but that's not easy. A lot of that is going to depend on Brandon Rochelle, if he's going to be able to get back from injury, as soon as possible. I think whenever that is, the games in the meantime are going to be tough. I think that's why, the game against UConn slipped out of reach and then the game at Central Florida, I think might have gone differently if he had played. So, still though, it's been a fun year because those expectations weren't there.
Now, Kelly, you kind of created a nice segue for me, and you're talking about how this is a game that Tulsa really needs. The Golden Hurricanes, 15-8, 7-3 after those back-to-back losses to UConn and UCF that you just referenced. So the Reynolds Center is a place where the Golden Hurricane has been very difficult to beat this year. 11-2 is Tulsa's home mark. Taking a look at this matchup, this is one that I know Frank Hayes and company, right now, after those back-to-back losses, you have Houston, and then also help me out here. I'm drawing a blank. As far as the two-loss teams, Cincinnati, I think maybe a three-loss team now because they just got beat in overtime by UConn.
Sounds right. Yeah.
So. So this is a game that, in order to stay right there in the thick of the regular season title hunt, that Tulsa really needs to pick up.
Yeah, and I don't know that Brandon Rochelle will be ready to go for it. He hasn't practiced since he got hurt in the UConn game. He might have been able to practice today, but that's somebody who not only is Tulsa's leading scorer, leading rebounder, leading I think he leads the team in blocks and steals, but he's really the team's best defender. So, obviously, when you have a guy like Jalen Gardner you're going up against, he needs someone who can defend him really well. And, I think Brandon would be, it kind of depends on their matchup zone, what Tulsa's doing on defense. But that would be someone for Brandon to, try to defend. So if Brandon can't play, I think that, Tulsa really is vulnerable against anyone. I think that that's, when your top guy is out, you could lose to anyone. So, that's something to keep an eye on. But, Tulsa has played really well at home. The UConn game, is an exception to that. But in this league, anything can happen. Home, road, first-place team, last-place team, and nothing matters. All of that gets thrown out.
And I was just going to say, Kelly, just adding to that point, the very fact of the scary thing about the conference this year is that there's so much parity. One week you're first place, and it seems like you drop down fourth or fifth or sixth place just in a matter of a game or two. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the standings, like there's so little room for error. The teams, that are like even the ones trying to get a first round bye in the conference tournament, I mean, it's just one game just changes everything, and especially how close a lot of these games have been over time or just, coming down to the wire. One play, can change so much, and that's a lot of pressure for teams, and it's also, makes it really entertaining to watch. I think there's so much talent in this league, top to bottom. And, this time of year, the games just great to watch because that they mean a lot. It's not just like the entertainment factor. It's like that game has huge implications. Every single game does.
Kelly, East Carolina's longtime play-by-play voice, Jeff Charles, has a weekly radio show, and I was able to check it out last week, and he made an interesting point, something I had been thinking, and with the addition of Frank Hayes' longtime friend and colleague, Jerry Wainwright, back from his days at Wake Forest, the impact that Coach Wainwright has had on the Tulsa defense, and because his teams down through the years, be it at UNC, Wilmington, DePaul, et cetera, had played tremendous defense. So talk about the impact he's made.
Yeah, I think he's made a huge difference. He's a guy who, he's a veteran, and he's very well respected by the players. Just watching practice, I'll see just how intently they're listening to him. Like, he just has, their attention, which you don't always see. When it's a first-year assistant, how college guys are, they don't always look someone in the eye and pay attention when they speak. Like, they do that with Jerry Wainwright. I can just tell he's very well-respected. And I know Coach Hayes, has appreciated having him on his staff and benefited from him. So I think it's been a really good fit.
Really, I have a question, kind of unrelated to what we're talking about, but just curious, as we see here on the eve of the start of college baseball season, do you think the Golden Hurricane will ever bring back college baseball? Has there been any talks of it? Have you ever heard any speculation on campus or anything?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I think that, unfortunately, if anything's going to change with the programs, it would be programs taken away instead of added. It's just very trying time financially for the university, and, athletics is it's hard to generate money, obviously, for anything that's not football and basketball. So, they got rid of men's golf a few years ago. When they got rid of baseball, they added soccer, and I think soccer has really picked up in this region of the country. And even though baseball is still popular, I think soccer is gaining for sure. There's a professional team here in Tulsa, and people seem to support that really well. So I think that, when they went to soccer, they accepted that baseball probably wasn't going to be coming back. And I think a lot of people, from previous decades miss it, but I don't see them adding any programs.
Let's talk about the remaining time we have with you, if you can, a little football. I know the guys won't mind that. What are your thoughts going after the season now of 2019? Phillip Montgomery, how are things now in the quote-unquote off-season for Tulsa?
I think that, it's going to be a really important spring for Phillip Montgomery, for the offense, to keep improving. You have just about everybody back on offense, some guys to replace on the line. and the offensive line coach left for another job, so they have a new position coach there. So, you know, I think, you know, got to just keep progressing with it. It's going to be a really important year for Phillip, you know, to be retained after, you know, three losing seasons in a row. You know, they obviously are giving him more time, and I think he's earned that with how competitive the team was last season and against a really difficult schedule. But, you know, at some point you got to win some games, and I think, you know, people are expecting the offense to continue, you know, trending upward. Got to replace a lot on defense, but there's a lot of young talent there that I think it, you know, I don't know that it'll be as good as it's been the last couple of years, but I think there's some potential. And I think Zach Smith is going to, you know, continue to develop, and he's got a guy behind him, Seth Boomer. I think they're much in much better hands, you know, with the quarterback position. And as we know, that dictates a lot.
Kelly, one last question. Former Tulsa head coach Todd Graham got back in the college football coaching world, taking the head coach job at Hawaii. Was there any reaction from Golden Hurricane fans to that, or nobody cared?
I think that the most striking thing with that is that he's, you know, hired a couple of former Tulsa players to his staff, G.J. Kenny, who was a really good quarterback, and Brennan Marion, who, you know, has been moving up in the coaching ranks as an offensive coordinator. So I think that there are some, you know, names on that staff that some people, you know, associated with Tulsa football would have liked to have seen, you know, here. But, you know, I think that's cool for them. I saw G.J. Kenny posted a picture, you know, at the beach, like, the other day. And obviously it's winter here. It's cold. And, you know, just obviously a recruiting message. Come play here. It's perfect weather. And so it's kind of cool to see those guys, you know, have success with their careers. I never covered Todd Graham, but I know G.J. Kenny and Brennan Marion. So it's cool for me to see those guys, you know, get to coach in a cool place for, you know, one of their former coaches. So in that regard, I think people are going to pay attention. And Todd Graham was really well respected here. And I think some people wanted him to come back if Phillip Montgomery wasn't retained. But I think it's cool that he's at Hawaii. I just think that'd be a cool place to work and live for a few years.
Yeah, I would think.
Kelly, how can people follow your work?
You can find me on Twitter. My handle is Kelly Hines TW. You can pull up TulsaWorld.com and find my stories there. That's pretty much it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the visit. It'll be interesting to see what happens on Wednesday night and the rest of the way for Tulsa and East Carolina. Thanks so much for your time, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Anytime, guys.
Thanks so much, Kelly. We appreciate you coming back on the show to talk about tonight's matchup between the Pirates and Golden Hurricane, and we look forward to having you back down the road. Now let's go to that interview with former East Carolina head coach Billy Godwin. Coach Godwin spent 2015 through 2019 in the Yankees organization as a regional scouting director and supervisor, and he had the opportunity to get back into the game on the Division I level as a head coach and took over for his former assistant, Link Jarrett, at UNCG. And let's go to that conversation with Billy right now. As the 2020 college baseball season is set to start, we're here about 4 days away from opening day, and the state of North Carolina has four coaches that are in their first season at their respective programs, and right now we're very excited to be joined by the new head coach of the UNCG Spartans, Billy Godwin.
Well, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, Coach. We appreciate your time. Know it's an extremely busy time, that goes without saying, but just talk about getting back into the game. Obviously, you had been a head coach at Lewisburg College in a very successful 9-year run at East Carolina, and then the last several years you've been with the New York Yankees as a scouting director. So just talk about that opportunity to get back in the game and follow up one of your former coaches in Link Jarrett.
Well, I got a lot of thoughts on that, but one, I'm excited. You know, I coached for 29 years at all levels. I certainly enjoyed my time in Greenville and at Lewisburg, and, you know, was fortunate enough to land with the Yankees, and thoroughly enjoyed that opportunity, you know, running the Carolinas and you know, overseeing scouting in both North and South Carolina, and just met so many great people and learned so much about the game. But, you know, I was telling a scout friend of mine who'd coached is we were talking. It was last year, you know, I didn't know what was ever in the cards for me, but, you know, I said opening day is still always tough for me, you know, because when you're used to having 29 opening days, and all of a sudden opening day is different sitting in the stands than it is when you prepare a team. So I'm excited. I think the biggest change and the biggest challenge is in coaching, you got a chance to make an impact in young men's lives. And that's what I thoroughly miss. So I'm really excited about this opportunity.
Now with Coach Jarrett, obviously Link did a tremendous job there. That's the reason he got the Notre Dame job. So just talk about the situation there at UNCG and the way the Spartans have been over the last several seasons.
Well, A, you're correct. I mean, Link Jarrett is one of my best friends in the game. My 4 years with him in East Carolina, we certainly had a great run. We complimented each other well and, thank the world of him and excited for his opportunity. But, you know, what he left here is, you know, a program that's averaged 37 wins over the last 4 years. A tremendous, expectations among our players, in all areas, academics, in the community, on the field. And so, you know, walking in, the biggest transition for me was just hiring a new staff, getting to know our players, and just trying to get things organized the way I needed them organized. As far as the program's in great shape, and he's done a great job.
So you talk about the academic side of things. I follow you on social media. I know here recently you had the opportunity to have what – well over 20 of your players, maybe, with in excess of a 3.0 GPA?
Yeah, we had 26 of our 34 players on roster have a 3.0 or better. And I thought that was outstanding. You know, our guys are really locked in to being, you know, and we talk about it every day, that champion walk of, you know, excellence in all areas of your life. And, you know, academics certainly is the reason they're here. The reason they're here is to get an education.
Now let's talk some baseball positionally. We'll start there. I know Caleb Webster and Greg Hardison, those guys are proven commodities for you. They're preseason all SoCon selections. Webster, I think this would be the third straight season that he would have been an all SoCon selection if he has an excellent year this year like he has the last two. And so just talk about those guys and some of the other key returners you have as well as new pieces.
Yeah, I mean, you know, actually, you know, Caleb is ironic that Caleb actually played for one of my former players who played for me at East Carolina, Jake Smith, you know, down at Randleman High School. And, you know, Caleb has had success since he walked in the door. And if you spend 2 minutes around, you know, that young man, you understand why. I mean, you know, he's all about, you know, working. He's all about, you know, being accountable, being responsible, the things that are important, you know, that you need to be successful. And so, you know, he is a senior now back in our program. I mean, he's a guy we count on to, you know, anchor in our infield. He'll flip back and forth between second and third. Greg Hardison is another guy I had some familiarity with. I mean, played against his dad. I played shortstop at East Carolina. And Greg, being from Greenville, he's had a tremendous, 2 years here, you know, in his freshman and sophomore year. And, I think hitters hit, and Greg Hardison is just a very good hitter. He'll play left field for us. And then, you know, we're excited. We got some other guys. I mean, I think, Zach Budzik, our shortstop, is probably one of our best tools guys. He's got enough range, enough arm to play shortstop and stay there. He's a good runner. He had a solid year last year, you know, once he took over the starting shortstop job, you know, hit about, you know, the high 280s, I think somewhere around that neighborhood. He seems to be like a guy we can count on. Hogan Windish is another guy that made the all freshman team last year. Will play second base for us. He's got probably as good a tools as anybody we have on the team from especially a power potential. Josh Madole's another solid player, you know, our first baseman. We have a veteran group of position players. I mean, if you look at it, I think we returned 8 that saw significant time. Ryan Cavanaugh, our catcher, is a senior. And, yeah, I guess right now the biggest, if there are any musical chairs going on right now in our program is like, who's going to anchor right field? Who's going to be our DH?
Coach, taking a look at the pitching side of things, obviously when you went to East Carolina back in 2006, it was to be, or I guess technically the summer of 2005, it was to be the pitching coach on Randy Mazey's staff, but you were very quickly named the Pirates head coach. But with that background in pitching, I wanted to see, get your thoughts on where's your weekend rotation shaping up going into the season?
Well, it's good. I think one of the things that was amazing about Coach Jarrett's team last year is, he lost, two to three guys, with injuries for the year, and they did very well for him. They were guys he was counting on to pitch at some part of the weekend, and we returned, two of those guys. That's been a big, Jake Lewis is a redshirt senior left-handed pitcher. And, kind of reminds me, I'm just giving a reference from my East Carolina days, a Kevin Brandt kind of pitcher, left-handed, not big stuff, but can really pitch. And then we got a kid in Jacob Curry who, stepped in here coming out of, junior college. He never pitched. He's going to be a key part of our bullpen. Austin King settled into the Friday night role. He's going to be a sophomore, had a really good year numbers wise. And, he was out this fall, so I didn't get a chance to work with him or see him, but he's been really impressive in the preseason. And then we've had some kids come on. Alex Hoppe is probably our biggest arm. He's been up to 96, and, he hasn't really had a significant role here, but he's taken a step forward, this year, and really seems like he's going to be kind of a hybrid guy that can, pitch some valuable innings at the bullpen and spot start for us. And then Phillip Sanderson's another kid from Greenville who, is in the role for a starting position. So I think our pitching staff is, at least 6-8 deep on guys we can count on to run out there. And we're just looking like any other staff in the country to build depth. My experience tells me if you get 8-10, you got a chance that you can trust and that can produce. You got a chance to be very successful.
No doubt about it. I want to take a look at your coaching staff. I know it has some in-state flavor, if you will. Greg Starbuck, he's the guy that spent 17 years as an associate head coach at Elon, and most recently, was down at Clemson as a volunteer assistant. And then also your former player, Hunter Allen, joins you.
Yeah, coming in and walking into this situation, I got the job literally 5 days before the freshman arrived and, did not have a staff in place. So, when I started, just talking to people and doing my research and starting to talk, Greg Starbuck is someone I've always admired. He's from right here in Kernersville, lives right in a neighboring town, and knew he'd been at Clemson, knew he was happy there. And, when you're a volunteer, you don't get an opportunity to recruit. Greg did such a great job at Elon in all those years where they were running out regional teams as associate head coach there. I just picked up the phone and called him and said, hey, coach, I know you're doing it. He ran the offense there. He was the hitting coach. He was the third base coach. Would you like to come home and have this opportunity and, get a chance to go out on the road again and recruit? I got his attention. And as conversation went on, we were able to, lure him away, cause those volunteers at ACC schools, they're just not your typical volunteers, because their camps are so good that they actually, financially do okay. So getting him back here for me was a home run hire. And, so once I hired him, I kind of looked around, what are the resources that we have left and what can we do to attract the next guy? I decided I would be the pitching coach because I feel very good on the offensive side, having him run our offense. And then it was real easy for me if you want to go to somebody you have comfort in. And, Hunter Allen has started his coaching career, after he finished his playing days at East Carolina. He coached at Lewisburg. He coached at Brunswick Community College with his father, who's a tremendous coach. Robbie and I are great friends. And knew he had been at East Carolina as a volunteer, and he and I started conversations. So as we kind of weeded through this, I thought it was the perfect thing. We got two old school veteran guys, and to get a young guy, in that's got the energy and the baseball knowledge that Hunter Allen has is tremendous. He's a tremendous hire for us. Good young up and coming bright coach. And then my volunteer ended up being Marty Gant, who is a South Carolina native, but thing about Coach Gant is he was a two-way guy at College of Charleston. Outfielder, played in the Rays organization of the Double A. And so I was looking for somebody being a head coach that also had some pitching knowledge. So he also coaches our outfielders, but he'll slide over and assist me with the pitchers when I have to break away, you know, to be with the team or do some different things. So I couldn't be any more excited about the staff that I put together.
Coach, let's take a look at your 2020 schedule. Let's start off with the non-conference. I know early on you guys opened down in Conway with the baseball at the beach, and you start off with the Chanticleers, and then you also have Virginia Tech out of the ACC and also San Diego State. So talk about that and then also the early season series with App State.
Well, yeah, I mean, and you know, the schedule, as you know, schedules are done so far in advance now. So really the schedule was one of the folders laying on my desk when I walked in the door. And, you know, one of the things when Coach Jarrett was there and we were together at East Carolina, we always loved playing a challenging schedule. So he didn't cut any slack here because you're going down and playing Coastal. You're a defending national champion, pretty much a brand new park. Great job at Gary Gilmore and that staff does down there. And then, you know, ACC school in Virginia Tech, and John Sheff has got great things going on in Blacksburg, and then San Diego State, you know, who's certainly a perennial name on the West Coast. So, and then we turn right around and we come back and we go to Wake Forest, who might, because of my knowledge of scouting, might have one of the best offenses in the country this year. So I really like that challenge. I think it's a good, way to gauge where our team is, how competitive we can be, and push these guys to greater things as we go. I mean, we all want to win every game, but I think you're W's and L's, but I like to say we're going to win and we're going to learn. That's the L. And, if we can take this the right way and we go and compete, I'm really excited about that. App State's certainly coming in here the third weekend, with the job that Kermit Smith and Britt Johnson have done up there, and getting that program, you know, is exciting. And then, you know, we go on the road, we go to Jacksonville non-conference, we got UNC, I think, the 3rd of March. So Coach Jarrett had put together a very, very good schedule, a very competitive schedule that will challenge us and prepare us for the SoCon.
Yeah, there's certainly no shortage of midweek games with the quality programs in the state of North Carolina and bordering states.
No. I always used to say that your midweek games, I mean, it, you know, back when I was coaching at East Carolina, or as tough or tougher than sometimes your conference games. And that's certainly the case here. And with Greensboro being in the center of the state, I mean, we're an hour and a half from Charlotte. I mean, you know, we're an hour from Raleigh. I mean, it's really an ideal location to, you know, to play some of the better programs in the state.
And Coach, last question for you. Let's talk a little about the Southern Conference. You know, looking at things, depending on which poll you look at, and those don't mean anything other than just a talking point, but, Wofford or Samford are projected to win the league. Mercer's expected to be right there. So talk a little about your conference.
Well, you know, my knowledge of the Southern Conference, of course, is, playing a few of the teams in my tenure at East Carolina. And then having the opportunity to scout, you know, Furman, Wofford, the Citadel and Western Carolina and those teams. So, you know, Mercer, Samford, I have very little history with, or just know what paper says, just like what you read. I know this is a challenging conference. Wofford, Todd Donato over at Wofford does what I think is an amazing job. He's a great young coach, and he's really built something special over there. And, you know, my understanding is they have a lot of returners. I wish I could talk more in depth about, you know, the talent in the league. They have a lot of returners, so does Mercer, so does Samford. So they seem to be the teams that you have to knock off if you want to win the SoCon in advance.
Well, Coach, as we sit here, is like I said, 4 days from opening day. So we really appreciate your time. You've been very generous, and we'd love to have you back on down the road. Best of luck to you and the Spartans in 2020.
Okay. Thank you. And I appreciate it. And thanks for promoting our game.
Thanks so much to UNCG first-year head coach Billy Godwin for coming on the program, and best of luck to him and the Spartans in 2020. Pirate Nation, this weekend is the annual Aces for Autism game, and the Pirates will be hosting Cincinnati in Minji's, 12 o'clock tip-off on Sunday afternoon, as the Pirates will be donning those special Aces for Autism uniforms that they've worn in the past, and they are once again very sharp-looking this season. Also, East Carolina baseball will be getting underway Friday afternoon, hosting William & Mary in a three-game series this weekend at Clark LeClair Stadium. Remember, you can find our show pretty much anywhere podcasts are found. Google Play Music, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Audio Boom. If you listen to a podcast there, you can probably find us. Remember, follow us on social media on Twitter at TheSportsOBJ, on Instagram at TheSportsObjective, like and follow us on Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate you listening to the show, and as always, go Pirates!
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.